Coming up on this episode of The Social Hour, Amber and I are joined by Stuart Reynolds, who you might know better as Brittle Star. He is a Vine celebrity, and he has some secrets on the answers to his success. All that and more coming up next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for The Social Hour is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 163, recorded Thursday, May 22nd, 2014. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 300,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/social hour and receive a free PowerPack upgrade valued at $99. And by Offset.com, a new brand from Shutterstock. Offset provides a collection of high-end, royalty-free photography and illustration from award-winning talent. To receive a buy one, get one free image on new accounts, go to offset.com/welcome/social hour. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of The Social Hour. It looks a little different. Amber's not with me right this second. She's rushing home from a personal engagement. She will be with us very shortly, but of course, I'm Sarah Lane from Twit World Headquarters in Petaluma, California, where I always sit during The Social Hour. But don't worry, I'm not going to have to speak alone for the next 10 or so minutes because I'm actually joined by Stuart Reynolds, who you may not know by his name, Stuart Reynolds, but you may know as Brittle Star because that is sort of his alter ego online. Hey, Stuart.
How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks for joining us. Now, for anybody who's not familiar with Brittle Star, tell us who you are.
Well, I think people would probably, I was going to make a joke, but I won't start with a joke yet. I'll move on to those later. The vast majority of people will know me from the Vine app, which is the video making, editing, sharing app, on iPhone and or iOS and Android and stuff. And, I do sort of silly videos and they get shared and shown to people and all that kind of stuff.
You know, this is, I'm so happy to have you on the show because Amber and I, we cover pretty much any social app service trend. That's sort of the point of the show. But often there will be something that seems to be catching on with the public and we sort of scratch our heads a little bit like, why why don't we want to use Vine more? What are we missing? Now, you've got over 300,000 followers on Vine. That's really, really impressive. What drew you to Vine initially and how did you amass such a following?
I think my looks had a big part to play. I think that what drew me to the app itself initially was the fact that it was so easy to create something that was unusual and you could sort of, in that old sort of term, you could explode the moment. Like you could actually take something small that was seemingly normal or routine and then just kind of focus on it and it becomes ridiculous and funny.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can share it so easily was awesome. I mean, it was really cool to be able to connect with people so quickly and so rapidly.
All right, so you took to the format, but how did people find out about you? I mean, were you one of the first kind of like enthusiastic Vine users? Were you just very prolific?
I got the app and signed up about a month after it had released, and it was actually my youngest son Gregor, who's also on Vine as well and does really well, as well as my older son Owen. But Gregor was right into it, and he said, "Dad, you've got to check this out and get this app." And he would be sitting in the family room laughing at these videos, and that kind of got me engaged in it. And then I sort of did silly things and stupid things because I think with every new platform, you know, you kind of have to experiment a little bit because you don't quite know how it all fits into what you want to create or what people want to see and that kind of thing. So what I did was a bunch of stupid videos, whether it be with my kids or just, you know, the regular sort of stuff, that almost like sort of silly home movie type stuff. And then worked my way up to doing stupid stuff with a Chewbacca doll and then moved from there. The big break was I did a finger on the screen Vine, which was sort of like a the illusion of interactivity with the viewer. So if you move, one of the neat things about the app is that if you put your finger on the screen, if you tap it, it'll stop the video. But if you just put your finger on the screen and move it up and down, the whole screen will actually jiggle. So the idea was you were having an effect on what was happening in the scene, whether it be turning a light switch on and off or making me spill my drink, or we did the Valentine's one where like plates went flying and the waiter went flying and all that kind of stuff. So that's where it sort of people kind of paid attention to me. And then once I had them in my clutches, I was able to do stupid things and try to keep their attention.
And we've got a live chat going on during the show for everybody who's watching us live. And user BlenderMF says, this is weird for me. I had no idea that Brittle Star was so popular, probably just because I'm not on Vine. But I knew about him for his music before and the fact that he's local. So where did you come from? Pre-Vine, what's your specialty? And how do people know your music?
Well, Brittle Star is the name that I was, and I still record under. I did music for a number of years, and I think sort of a lot of people got to know me from music by Brittle Star that was in MTV shows like Real World and let's say the show Spin Crowd and that type of thing. And then the big pinnacle, of course, was being featured on American Top 40 when I did a song called Music Sounds Better on the Radio. And yeah, so it's weird to sort of transition from that. And I have lots of friends who are very sort of, you know, serious musicians. And they just, you know, I'm sure they just sort of raise their eyebrows when they see me running around acting like an idiot in the supermarket. But it's okay. That's all right. I made a promise myself a year ago that I would try to, more than a year ago now, that I would try to make myself laugh every day. So this is perfect for that.
It's interesting. We have the conversation, and Amber and I get a lot of questions from people who are trying to make it in social or become some sort of an expert in on Twitter or Google Plus or that sort of thing. Do you think that having a following before you sort of explode in popularity on something like Vine or really any social network is necessary? I mean, can you start from scratch? Because I think that's one of the frustrations that so many people have is where do you reach out to people initially?
Well, I mean, I think that having a following from some other medium certainly doesn't hurt. But that said, I pretty firmly believe that I don't think that any sort of following I had for music played into why people followed me on Vine. I think because the platform was so new and was so, you know, people hadn't, it was really growing rapidly, but there wasn't a lot of people involved in it. It was so spread out. I think that you don't have to have a following necessarily to get a following. You just have to relate to people in some manner. You have to kind of fill in a niche or some sort of spot that isn't occupying their heads or brain space elsewhere on social media, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Okay, so let's talk about brands a little bit. Vine, Instagram is another place that people who have kind of amassed this following have become celebrities on these kind of vertical social networks have been approached by brands who say, hey, you know, let's do some work together. And that's happened to you on Vine. How does that work?
It's been really great. I mean, I think the first big brand to approach me was Disney. And, you know, that was last fall. So last September, October. And I got to judge a contest and make some Vine stuff for them, some content. And then, you know, they flew us down to California and we were part of a social media all-stars event and stuff. And those kind of connections, it's so early in the game, right? It's so early. It's still very much cowboy days. And, you know, those kind of connections are usually made kind of weirdly and directly. Like that particular one was made initially through Twitter. And it just takes someone who's in charge, either who's part of an agency or part of a brand themselves or a corporation or whatever, to be savvy enough to realize, oh, wait a minute, you know, our audience or our customers or whatever you want to call them, patrons, are on this platform. Why aren't we tapping into that? And there's no, I mean, the old world style of connecting through managers and agencies just doesn't apply yet to any of this because it's so brand new.
Have you had to, I mean, has anyone approached you where you say, no, I don't really want to use my name for something like that? Are you able to be selective?
A little bit. I mean, I've been lucky that the ones who have contacted me, the brands who have contacted me, most of them, either they contact me at the right time and I think, yeah, all right, I need some money. This is great. or more to the point, I've been more lucky in that I have, you know, with people like Disney or ESPN, it's kind of a no brainer. It's kind of like, well, yeah, this sounds like fun. And it's, you know, I have no problems aligning my name with their name, that type of thing.
So let's talk about your Vine workshops. If you just go to brittlestar.com, you've got all sorts of information about the stuff you do. You're also on YouTube. You've got the whole thing going on. But you're now allowing people to hire you to kind of teach them how to be good at Vine. I mean, are there, not to give away any secrets, but are there any kind of general things that you think make for a great Vine and set people apart?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a couple of, Vine has a couple of inherent traps that a lot of people fall into, and it kind of ruins their chance of success for their Vine or Vine account. And it's interesting because, like, again, we've got such a new platform, and it's short form video is so interesting in general because it's only 6 seconds. And when you first start doing it for 6 seconds or seeing that parameter, you think, oh, what can happen in 6 seconds? And then the more you work in it, you realize, oh my goodness, I've got, you know, 0.2 seconds left over. I can totally fit this other scene in here. And that becomes a bit of a trap. You want to make sure that you're keeping it as simple as possible. 6 seconds is a hugely long time. When you break it down into little scenes, if you, you know, sort of take care as to what happens in each scene, you can do an awful lot.
I mean, some of this stuff looks so pro. Are you doing any post-production on your Vines?
I'd have to, I can't tell you that kind of thing.
No.
There's lots of ways to do it. Exactly. There's lots of ways to do post-production type stuff. Yeah. And I know that it used to be a thing in Vine where it was like, we've got to keep it pure. We've got to keep it absolutely pure. And I don't know where, like, I don't consider myself a purist of anything. If something's going to be made better and more enjoyable by doing it a different way or doing it in a variety of ways, which I think is awesome, because sometimes Vines are great when it's someone who just pulls out their phone and films something, and that's all you need. I did a Vine called Summer Is Not Over where I was walking in the sidewalk and I'm talking on the phone. A leaf, it was actually the end of summer last year, and a leaf falls in front of me. I stop, I look down at the leaf, and then I staple the leaf back to the tree. And I did that as myself and my wife. I was like, let's go out and do this right now. And it took all of 4 minutes to do. And I think it's, you know, like 300,000 people have shared it, and that's all it needed. Whereas there's other Vines where it's like, you know what, this needs something a bit more fun. I did a Vine yesterday about a fake app called CloudFart. And it is distressing how many people, by the way, thought that was an actual ad for an app. Honest to God, and it was terrifying, which is just too funny. But that's actually funnier than the Vine itself. But that kind of thing required like a voiceover and stuff to make it funny. Otherwise, it wouldn't play like a commercial, that type of thing.
So that's that's an interesting, it's an interesting attitude because you do have those purists. Again, I see them on Instagram too, where in the bio they'll say iPhone only, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's like I didn't bring anything in that wasn't on the app itself, but you don't subscribe to that. You say, hey, creativity is a free for all.
Yeah, I mean, I think it used to be, I learned a long time when I was working primarily in music that you shouldn't make music for musicians. Because, first of all, they're usually poor and they don't have any money to give you. But secondly, you know, you'll never please the people you're competing with. You know, that's not the reason. If I go to buy a song or if I laugh at a Vine, I'm not laughing at the Vine or enjoying the Vine because, oh, it's all natural. Well, that makes it even funnier. Not to me, anyway. I think the vast majority of people who are watching or consuming the medium, they just want to be entertained. And however that happens, that's how it happens. That's great.
So, all right, you're a Vine star. You're obviously on Instagram. You're on YouTube. You seem like you've got the good stuff covered. Are there any new networks or areas of community that you think are good to tap into, that you're going to plan to take some time on? Maybe you've obviously spent a lot of time on Vine and you're uploading stuff there all the time. I guess just looking forward, where do you want to put your energy?
I've thought about this a lot. I know that a lot of my peers on Vine are, you know, creating channels and things like iFunny and all that kind of stuff. People are doing comedic stuff anyway. It's funny because I don't know what's going to happen with Vine. I know that short form video though is really addictive. Mm-hmm. So I see it having a longer lifespan than people thought it was going to have initially. So right now, all I really want to do, I think, for myself is try to get really good at conveying whatever my message is, or, you know, comedic message or whatever it is in my Vine, so that it's appreciated by as many different people as possible. I had a discussion yesterday with, 2 days ago with a guy in England who I'm going to be doing a remote collab with on Vine. And his name's Aaron Craskley. He's a hilarious guy. And I was saying, I'm really trying to create Vines that are rely less on dialogue and more on just visuals, because then you get people who really enjoy them anywhere. It doesn't matter what language they speak, that type of thing. So that's kind of my focus at the moment. I think that there hasn't been anything that's come out. There's been other Vine video sharing platforms I've seen come, but I haven't seen anything yet that's got the same kind of immediate appeal that Vine had straight out of the gate.
I love it. I love this stuff. Now, you did mention to me before the show, and I'm not going to let this interview end without talking about it, that you you still live in the town that also gave us Justin Bieber up in Canada.
Well, I still live there. He doesn't live here anymore,
Right. He's moved on
to things.
To all sorts of stuff. But so what's in the water up there? I mean, you're just churning out Canadian celebrities, apparently.
tattoo sleeves. Actually, that's what happens to all of us. You drink the water and your arms immediately get covered in tattoos and attitudes. It's a small... Stratford's a town of 32,000 people. We're very lucky to have the Stratford Festival Theater here, which is the largest repertory theater in North America. So it's kind of a weird town. It's a tiny town, but we get like millions of people coming every year. It's a town that it's small and it's surrounded by farmland, but you're allowed to be a bit of a weirdo.
I love it. Stuart, before we go, Amber actually is finally joining us. Hey, Amber.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Amber.
You know, I was just grilling Stuart on the fact that he admitted that Justin Bieber is from the same town that he still lives in, and I unfortunately now I'm just completely hung up on that. But we've talked about Vine and social and amassing an audience, but Amber, I don't want to let Stuart go without you being able to talk to him as well.
Thank you. Well, Stuart, I had a couple people recommend you on Twitter, and a lot of people excited that you came on the show. So thank you so much. Sorry that I missed it, but my 5-year-old had his first play at school and he did a great job. So I'm a little bit late, but I'll catch up and watch the show afterwards.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, Stuart Reynolds, a.k.a. Brittle Star, hilarious guy. Thank you so much for joining us on The Social Hour and giving us a little bit more background on how you became you and what's next for you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Stuart Reynolds, vine.com/brittlestar. He's also on Twitter, of course, at brittlestar. He's everywhere on brittlestar, really. Thanks again. All right, Amber, before we get into the rest of the show, let's take a moment. You can relax for a second. I know you rushed back. And I'll thank 99 Designs for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. We talk about 99 Designs a lot, and the great thing about it is that it can really help your social media presence. Hey, maybe you want to be the next Brittle Star, and you're kind of like, well, I don't. You know, what's my brand? What's my look? What's my feel at my website? What do I want them to think when they see my design for the first time? Maybe you're just going to go with Facebook. Maybe that's your presence. Twitter might be your place of choice. Google Plus has all these great tools. You can have accounts in all of these different places. Kind of want to have a unified look. You want to have that something where people say, oh, yeah, that's that Brittle Star guy. His website is actually very nice. 99 Designs can help you be more like a Brittle star. Remember, your profile picture, your cover image, your background image, those are all opportunities you don't want to miss to communicate your brand to others. And yes, even as an individual, you kind of have to be a brand, or you're a group, or it's a business. You know, it's all over the place. But if your business looks, let's admit it, a little less than polished on social media, it's time to get some updated designs. And that's where 99 Designs can really help you. You can ask the designers at 99 Designs for out-of-the-box concepts. You can say, maybe these are the colors I was thinking of, but I don't know where to start because I didn't go to school for design. I have no design skills. You'll enjoy seeing the creative ideas that they can bring to the table. And the nice thing about 99 Designs is you submit your query and you get all sorts of different ideas from designers, and then you can choose the design that works best for you. So you really, you have a lot of great stuff to choose from. You don't have to feel like, well, I don't know, I went with this one design and who knows what else could have been out there. You get a really wide range of designs to choose from right out of the gate. So you can start your next design project today with dozens of designs to choose from in just about a week. Sounds good, right? Visit 99designs.com/social hour. That's 99designs.com/social hour and get started. And when you do that, you also get a $99 power pack of services that you don't have to pay for. It's completely free. A power pack gives you more designer time. You get more attention. You're kind of like a celebrity. 99 Designs will highlight and feature your design projects. Everybody's going to know about it. You get twice as many designs, and that just works better for you. You want twice as many designs, of course, right? That $99 power pack of services is completely free when you go to 99designs.com/social hour. Do it now. Get a better design. You are worth it. And thanks to 99 Designs for their support of the Social Hour. Well, Amber, welcome. I'm so glad that the play went well. I was hoping. It's like sort of like out of a movie, right? Where the parent says, "I'm a very busy person, but I just can't miss the first school play." Type thing.
You can't, right? It's the only school play this year, and it's so funny because all the kids in the class are 4 and 5 years old. So actually, the play is quite short. I mean, it would have been 5 minutes long if we did it, but when you have kids that age doing it, it stretches out to about 30 minutes because they're being fed their lines. But my little guy did a great job, and I got to stay till the end, and then I raced out of there like a crazy mom I imagined that I would probably end up being.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Thank you.
You can do it all. So let's talk about some of the news from this week. I think probably we should start off with this is kind of a scary headline from ReadWrite that says, "Facebook can now spy on your surroundings using a microphone." Now, if you read that and you don't know the context, you might say, well, that's the end of Facebook. I've had it with them and their lack of privacy. But the whole point from Facebook is that it's designed to let you start IDing things like music or TV shows that you're listening to, not unlike the way that Shazam works or SoundHound works as well. We got a little bit of more information about how this is going to be rolling out in the next few weeks. Yesterday, I think it kind of hit the tech blogs. And I have to say, Amber, I do use Shazam every so often. In fact, when I was at the gym this morning, there was a remix of a song where I'm like, I like this, and I don't know who sings it. And so I used Shazam, and I found out it was Chris Brown, and I wanted to kill myself. But it does come in handy, right? So do you think it's any different that Facebook would use the same technology, or are people just scared of Facebook?
I don't know. I mean, I think you're exactly right. The headline is a little bit scary when you read it. However, I'm not really a huge fan of this feature. I mean, the idea of turning on my smartphone's microphone and knowing that it's Facebook behind it doesn't really make me feel that much more comfortable. I think, like you, I use Shazam once in a while, but at the end of the day, it's very infrequent, whereas I use Facebook all the time. So I just, it makes me a little bit uncomfortable thinking of this feature even existing. And Facebook does say that they're going to take the information. They're not going to save any of the information, of course. They're not going to be spying on you. And basically, it's just to allow people to be able to share music that they're listening to. But at the end of the day, I'm just not sure that Facebook is a trusted enough brand for most of its users to enable people to feel comfortable turning something like this on. That's the reality.
Yeah, for anybody who's like absolutely having a panic attack right now, it is opt-in. For the iOS and the Android apps. So if it's not something you're interested in, nothing will change. Your microphone will not be accessed without your knowledge or your consent. And also Facebook says, hey, listen, we've added the ability to convey an emotion. Let's say when you're updating, you know, Sarah Lane is at the airport and feeling tired, or, you know, that sort of thing. Or you can add a little smiley face to your update. And the company says, well, this is just sort of the next step in conveying, you know, kind of that exact moment that you're in where you want to share with the world. So if I'm listening to the song, I can then use, I think they're using APIs from Ardio and Spotify and Deezer. I think those are the three services that they're using, at least at this point. And Amber could then see my update, and she'd get a 30-second clip of the song that I was sharing. Of course, with TV shows, you're not going to get a 30-second clip of a TV show, but you would be directed to that TV show's Facebook page, which most TV shows have, if not all of them, I guess, yeah. At least the ones that are going to be ID'd. So in a sense, I think, well, that's the context of it is kind of interesting, but I think it's not about us at all. It's about Facebook just gathering data on exactly what we're doing at what time of the day. I mean, if I'm always watching, I don't know, the Mindy Project at 7, and I'm constantly updating Facebook, well, who really gets anything out of that besides Facebook?
Yeah, I mean, don't you know what you're already doing in your house? I mean, that's what I wonder. That's the question I asked myself when I saw this. I think to myself, well, I use Shazam because maybe I am at the gym, or maybe I'm out at a restaurant, or maybe I'm in a store and I hear a song that I think, oh, I really love this song. I want to find out who sings this song. Most of the time that I'm using Facebook, I'm at home on my couch. I know what's playing in my house because I've put it on. Do I really need Facebook to help me identify that music? I mean, it just seems like a really odd pairing. So I don't know how much success they're going to have with something like this. I think it's going to end up scaring people, even if that's not their intention. The reality is, again, I think people will just be frightened because perhaps they don't trust Facebook. And I don't think it's really a huge win for them, or going to be a huge win for them. I just don't see it.
Facebook has a history of kind of copying services that already exist. SoundHound actually, a lot of people, I think SoundHound, which is also a music ID service, much like Shazam, doesn't really have the household name that Shazam has, but some people like it better. Shazam, I think, when I last checked, had 90 million users, or at least they were claiming 90 million users. It has a huge database of not just music, but also TV shows as well. I wonder what this does for something like Shazam. I mean, if Facebook says, hey, we just built this same tool internally, and so we're just going to go ahead and compete with you, what does Shazam do? Because Shazam is not associated with this huge social network that has billions of users. Does Twitter buy Shazam? You know, should Twitter have this kind of same, like, Me Too type of technology? I just wonder what happens to these sort of middleman companies that aren't really associated with these large social networks.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. We actually just got a tweet in about this from Gardner Von Holt. He says, the problem is that now you feel Facebook can listen to you, and we are trusting them to be telling the truth that they aren't. And I think that kind of sums it up, right?
Yeah.
You know, we all want to believe Facebook isn't listening, and then this feature with the microphone, I think it just feels like a really odd fit. So, hey, if anyone disagrees with us, I think we encourage people to write into us and let us know if they see a great application for this that maybe Sarah and I are just missing. But at first glance, it seems somewhat worrisome, I think.
Yeah. And maybe even at best, kind of pointless.
Yes.
I just don't know when anyone on Facebook wants to see Sarah saying, hey, I'm feeling happy watching the news.
Although Sarah,
and then you can go to
you.
That news program's page. I'm not really seeing the huge
I'm not
draw.
Seeing it. Although I was thinking about you because I was following your tweets when you went to Florida this past weekend, and there was so little information that I was like, all I know is Sarah might be stuck in a car with some strangers, and she's drinking sugar-free Red Bull. I don't know what else is going on, but hopefully she's okay. Then you're in a hotel room by yourself, or I don't know.
Gosh, you're right. Yeah, I was a little cryptic. I wasn't really meaning to frighten anybody, but yeah, the very very short version of the story is, my plane couldn't land because there was a storm in Fort Lauderdale, and then we ran out of fuel, so we had to land at a completely different airport, and then I had to drive across the state with a stranger because I didn't want to stay in Sarasota overnight, and it was just nuts. And I was feeling over-sherry, I guess, so
I'm just glad you're okay. I'm glad you're here.
It all worked out. I was not eaten by an alligator, but it was a little hairy there for a moment. And I drove through a panther preserve as well. I didn't realize that there were still as many Florida panthers as apparently there are. So that's cool, too. Learned a lot.
Yeah, I bet you did.
So speaking of learning a lot, these next two stories are intertwined, so I guess we could talk about them as one. First, the app Secret, which Amber and I have talked about in the past, has launched on Android. Of course, Android has many more users than iOS does. That's where it originally launched. So you can kind of talk about it as more of a worldwide launch. Secret, of course, is the app that is about anonymous sharing of things that, you know, they're not necessarily all secrets, but stuff that you wouldn't say as yourself necessarily, and based on contacts that are on your phone, everybody sees a different group of secrets because it's all based on your contact list without anyone's names being shared. Another app called Whisper, which existed before Secret launched, they've gotten $36 million in new funding. The app is kind of expanding to add posts that are related if you like a certain kind of whisper. Whisper now has categories. You can explore Whisper. Whisper's a little bit more of, I guess it's less about like, hey, let me break some hot news as an anonymous source, and more of like a overall, you know, almost like a Dear Diary type of a thing. But the two services are similar, and they get compared to each other a lot. Amber, I don't know. I mean, I've completely sworn off both of these because I don't really think the secrets that I read are very interesting. But yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm in the minority.
I don't know. I mean, $36 million. I don't know. What I find about these is kind of how I feel about Snapchat in some ways. Although I realize that there's a use for it and people want to have private conversations. Then you see Snapchat come out with something like Snapchat Stories, where it's all about, you know, a more public access to information that people want to share, particularly brands. It just feels like all of these apps like Secret and Whisper, eventually they're going to want to get a wider audience and be more public. So the nature of the apps themselves, I wonder if they become almost useless in some ways, right? So I don't know. I just don't see this, again, as something that is going to continue to be popular in the next few years. I think maybe a year or two that we'll see apps like this continue to be used. But I don't see any long-term plan for these apps. I think eventually they're just too gimmicky, right, Sarah? It just feels a little indulge, and then you got to get out of there.
Right. This is a secret that I mean, I'm not outing anybody because I don't know who it is, but it says it's a friend. The woman in the office directly to my right is really annoying me today.
Who
cares? Like it that doesn't give like it doesn't do anything. It might be me. I don't know. It doesn't do anything for me. But you know, when we were talking to Stuart earlier, who was explaining kind of the reason that he likes Vine and why it's worked so well for him, and he puts a lot of effort into it and he really enjoys it. When Vine first launched, Amber, I think you and I kind of said the same thing. Obviously, that's a completely different kind of app, but we sort of went, you know, this whole 6-second looping video thing might just be a gimmick. And obviously, for some people, it's not the right social network for them. It kind of has never caught on for me. But people are making a living,
I know,
doing Vines. And so it's interesting and a little humbling, I guess, to say, all right, well, you know, there's more to it than that. But I don't know how anonymous apps really scale, because there is that novelty of, ooh, you could read anything. Oh, I wonder who said all of this. But it seems so, I don't know, I guess juvenile is the word.
It does a little bit. And then I think what, you know, to your point, we really maybe just aren't the market for some of these tools. I mean, look, we do a show on the internet that anyone can access for free that's an hour long. I mean, obviously we don't need to communicate using a secret type of apps and short little 6 seconds, because maybe we're just too long-winded, Sarah. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But I do think at the end of the day, I'm starting to kind of come around to Vine, even though I'm not using it a lot. I am seeing more and more individuals and brands using it on a regular basis. And I'm seeing some really clever things. Particularly from Lowe's. Lowe's does a great job on Vine, where they have little tips about how to basically improve things around the home when you're doing home renovations. Like if you have a stripped screw, I just saw a Vine where you basically you wrap an elastic around the screw and then you can screw it in, and the elastic will help you if it has become stripped. And in 6 seconds, they explain that. here we have another one. If you're watching the video version of the show, where it talks about, I think this is taking a shovel and using it.
How to make it a ruler, I guess, kind of thing.
Yeah, a measuring tool.
This is the sort of thing where you go, this is so cool, because it is. These are instructional videos. Somebody put a lot of thought into making it short enough so that you can explain how to do something in 6 seconds, but it's really cool. Secret, on the other hand, or Whisper, I suppose, at the same time, I think probably the problem is, and maybe it's because I work in the tech industry, so I have a lot of people who are using these apps that, you know, it's a little bit self-serving, but I read nasty things about people I know. And I just think that is the last thing that I want to spend any time on. Every time I see that, I'm like, okay, I'm out. That's stupid. Because you don't get that on Twitter. Or if you do, I don't know, I'm just not following these nasty people. But I don't want to, I don't like the burn book component of it.
It feels like that. I mean, it's almost like when you're standing in line at the grocery store and you look at the National Enquirer for like 1 second and you catch yourself reading it.
You know, it's right.
Like, it's kind of one of those experiences where you're like, yeah, I don't know if this is really adding value to my life, right? I don't know if I need to be part of this. But nonetheless, I do encourage people to let us know if you use these apps and if we're way off here. But I don't know. At the end of the day, I just don't think we'll be talking about this in a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
We'll see.
I do. It feels very fad to coin a social hour expression that we'll get to a little bit later in the show. What we should get to, though, is selfies. I know. Everyone's rolling their eyes, the selfies. But there is a city that is more known for selfies than any other, Amber.
Yes, this is interesting. So if you are into selfies and you live in London, maybe this isn't a surprise that London has been named the selfie capital of the world. Basically, it's because it turns out that more selfies are taken there than anywhere else. And this is based on a report that was recently released. And they analyzed about 6.3 million social media messages from Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So they pretty dove into this pretty far to figure out the top selfie cities. So Londoners, I guess, they love their selfies.
And I guess also visitors. Everybody wants to take a selfie in front of Big Ben. In fact, my friend Karen just posted something on Instagram like a couple days ago of her in front of Big Ben, which, you know, every time you post a picture in front of Big Ben now, someone will tell you, you know, it's only the clock is not called Big Ben, it's only the bell, or, you know, whatever. But that's a whole different thing. So yeah, I guess it really has a lot to do with famous landmarks, which is kind of a fascinating thing too. So it's like, yeah, it's a selfie, but it's also kind of bragging rights. Here I am, I'm here. So London takes the cake ahead of Paris, New York. Well, it's an iconic city.
Yes, it is. So if anyone is listening from London, let us know. Send us your selfies. We can show them on the show. We'd love to do that.
Yes. Yeah, we could have like the selfie of the week.
Exactly.
Oh, I feel like we're opening the floodgates there. But yeah, sure. Why not?
I know. PG selfies only, please.
Exactly. All right. Should we move on to our social tip? This is something that you found actually on Lifehacker.
Yeah, this is a quick little tip, and it's an app called Notifier. And basically, if you are using a Mac, it will help you get iOS notifications on your Mac if your phone isn't nearby. And you think, oh, well, my phone, maybe your phone's always nearby when you're using your Mac. But for me, that's not always the case. I might be in a different part of the house, and I want to know if I'm getting a text message or any other type of notification. And so it's just a quick little tool. I think it's $3.99 that you can use on your Mac to get those notifications. You can't reply, which I think is obviously not great. But at the end of the day, I can't tell you how many times I've had my phone somewhere else in the house and I've been doing something and I'm missing text messages or other things that are coming in. So just a quick little tip.
Yeah, I use iMessage, which has a ton of other problems. In fact, there's sort of a crap storm.
Oh, it has
storm.
So many problems, Sarah. It's brutal.
Yeah,
brutal.
It's awful. The latest is that if you move from iOS to Android, your iMessages sort of get broken. You can't get them anymore, and people are freaking out about it. But even, let's just say that iMessage didn't have any issues. I mean, I would get the same messages on my, because I'm obviously using OS X on a Mac here, the same messages on iOS or my Mac. But that's just iMessage. I mean, even Facebook messages, if I don't have Facebook open in a tab in Chrome, somebody might message me via Facebook because I talk to some people that way. And then I look at my phone later and it's like, oh gosh, that was half an hour ago because maybe my phone was charging in the other room. Or yeah, that WhatsApp is a great example. Or an Instagram comment or all sorts of stuff that I could really, I would love those to be more unified. And I suspect that it's just a matter of time before Apple figures that out. That again, they don't have a great track record with iMessage either. But yeah, this is a nice little tool. Notifier, N-O-T-I-F-Y-R. We'll have the link in our show notes. But yeah, it's a handy little trick for anybody who's in the Apple universe.
It's a good little one. And you know what's really funny? As I mentioned it, I don't know why, but Safari crashed on my computer, like as if they knew I was talking poorly when I mentioned iMessage didn't work very well. So now I have to open up the rundown again. But nonetheless, I still love my Mac, sir.
I know. It's the ebb and flow of the, you know, the OS. Things are changing around here, especially with we mentioned Secret came to Android. I mean, pretty soon, that won't even be like a news topic. It'll just be everything goes to Android, and if we're lucky, it goes to iOS. I know that, you know, right now that's not the case, but eventually that will be the case because that's just where more people in the world have gone. That's just the way it goes. I mean, it's like Macs and PCs all over again. It's just, and then there'll be something else, and that's why it's fun to be in this line of work because it always keeps
it's
things
always
interesting.
Changing, right?
Exactly.
So next up, we're going to do our gig of the week. So we have been talking over the past couple of months, and we've had a profile on an interesting social media job. I think a lot of our listeners, based on some of the messages that we get in, are social media marketing professionals, or maybe they want a job in that space. And there are a lot of jobs out there. This one is kind of interesting. It was on Media Bistro. And if you're a fan of Engadget, then you may want to check out their social media fellowship. I have never heard of a social media fellowship. It sounds like a fun one. It's a full-time gig for about 4 months. I guess it's on contract. And if you love to use Pinterest, Tumblr, Vine, and Instagram, you would be responsible for helping them develop strategies for each of these platforms, curating content, posting onto Tumblr, doing live events. It looks like it would be a really great experience. I think they're looking for someone in San Francisco right now, and it looks like a really great gig.
It does look like a great gig, and I think it also sounds like the Engadget team, you know, they say recent college grad, but you probably don't have to be right out of college, but it's, you know, maybe more of an entry level type of a thing. And also for 4 months, but that's kind of Engadget also saying, hey, listen, we might need some just fresh ideas. Obviously everybody works at Engadget, knows what they're talking about technology wise and understands how to use social tools. But you know, as we've seen time and time again, every once in a while you'll get a brittle star and you go like, whoa, oh, you've really kind of conquered this. You found your niche here and you're using this service in a way that I had no idea you could make so much money, that type of thing. So I think we'll see more and more of these types of recruitments from established tech blogs, websites, services, that sort of thing that say, Bring in some fresh eyes and help us. You maybe put a new interesting spin on the ways that we communicate with our community.
Yeah, and I'm noticing more and more, which is one of the reasons it was great to have someone on talking about Vine, is that some of these jobs, people are really specializing in certain platforms, and that seems to be of great value. You know, you can't necessarily be a generalist anymore in the social media world, but if you're a Pinterest expert or a Vine expert, the reality is it seems easier to be able to get a name for yourself when you really focus on one particular network. So it could be an interesting strategy for people who are looking out there.
Social media fellow at Engadget. If you're interested, we will also have that link in our show notes. We try to... Amber is actually very good at this, kind of combing gigs around the world, really. And if there's something that seems like, hey, there might be a social gig that is great timing for somebody who's watching or listening, we try to add it to the show. And we love hearing from you, by the way, all of your questions, comments, your ideas. Amber asked Twitter the other day, hey, who should our next guest be? And that's how we found Brittlestar. So
it was great.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. We've been wanting to talk to somebody who's a Vine celebrity for a while, and it was just perfect. You can write us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 2626-SOCIAL. You can record a video and send it to us, upload it somewhere, post it, send us the link. You can tweet at us. You can
send us a selfie.
You can send us a selfie. Exactly. In fact, we insist. Please do that. You can. Well, you know, you've got all sorts of ideas. We are always listening. And thanks in advance for all of the great ideas that you give us each week. All right, Amber, let's get ready for your rad or fad. But first, I want to take a moment to thank Offset.com, which is a new brand from our friends at Shutterstock for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. What Offset is great at is it offers a very curated collection of just the best photos, the highest end photos and illustrations from the world's top editorial and commercial artists. So this is like the cream of the crop. Offset gives you really high quality images from these top dogs. And I mean, they're award winning. They've had their work featured in National Geographic, which is, you know, this is basically the best photos in the world. Condé Nast Traveler, Martha Stewart, advertising campaigns on national levels. What's nice about Offset is the images are authentic, and they kind of share an ability to tell a story. It's not so much about stock photos. It's a little bit more of that storytelling aspect where you could add it to one of your own projects, where you might be going somewhere, where there's a story to be told. The images are all reviewed for artistic distinction. Offset's kind of got this narrative quality that they're looking for. The subjects in these photos are captured from real life moments. They're not posed shots. They're not in some sort of a studio somewhere. This is actually people being out and about. You know, we're looking at images from India, and it conveys emotion. So they're interesting in that way. Each image has only two price points: $250 for shots suitable for the web, $500 for high resolution suitable for print. Simplified pricing and licensing with global usage rights makes it easy for you. And every image is royalty free in the collection. So the terms are simple, and you get rights management quality. So, it's just, I could go on and on, but you get the idea. Explore Offset today and sign up for a free account. Find an image that tells your story. And for a buy one, get one free image on new accounts, go to offset.com/welcome/social hour. In fact, before we go, Anthony, I don't know if you can pull this up, but are we looking at the artists Andrea Gentile and Martin Hires?
Yes.
They're New York based. Okay, so Anthony was a little bit ahead of me. They're a photography team based out of New York. They met while they studied photography at Parsons, which is a school of design. They've been working together since 1993. They photograph still life, fashion, travel. I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, these are folks who are, I mean, they're absolutely the top of their game. Beautiful photos. And again, there's stock photography, and then there's this. So again, this is what Offset gives you. Offset.com/welcome/social hour. Don't forget that welcome in the middle. Offset.com/welcome/social hour. They're welcoming you and us. And thanks to Offset for sponsoring us. All right, Amber, what do we have on tap for Rad or Fad today?
All right, we have a good one. And just really quickly before we get to that, I just wanted to say that on Twitter, Chris just tweeted at us. He's watching the show and wanted to mention that a link to Apple promises iMessage to Android SMS bug fix. So I guess this has just come out today. So they are going to try to fix that particular problem.
Well, wouldn't that be nice, Apple? Thanks for being you.
It would be good. Okay, so this Rad or Fad, it's one of these articles, Sarah, where I've read it a few times and I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't know if you watch The Voice at all, the singing competition.
Not every week, but I know how it works. Yeah.
Yeah, I know how it works as well. And they are pretty good at using social media and really promoting social television, probably one of the best out there, in fact. And on a recent show where they were announcing the winner, they actually used animations from a so-called Tumblr artist. And they put them behind the final song from the person who was singing, a finalist, Christina Grimmie. And this Tumblr artist had all of her animations in the back of the set when they were playing them, when she was singing this song, and they were using this as a way to really promote social conversations, but it was built around this Tumblr star who does all of these interesting animations. So if I had a hard time explaining it, it's because I'm kind of, I don't know. I don't know if I'm totally sold on this. And if it seems like that's when you're taking the concept of social television and you're pushing it a little bit too far and forcing it, it feels a bit like that to me. What do you think?
Well, I don't quite know what to make of it. I think it's cool that if I was a Tumblr artist and I was featured on The Voice, which is a huge show, a huge number of my friends think it's just the best show ever, I'd be thrilled. But you know, it's a little bit of an odd partnership. It seems a little bit forced, I guess, but I don't hate the idea. I guess it allows people to get some notoriety on national television with a huge, huge number of people who maybe never heard of Tumblr before and say, I love this artist. Where can I sign up? I guess more of a win for Tumblr, really, as long as it's being properly credited.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. And to our point in our conversation that we've just had and having a Vine star on the show, again, it seems more and more that there are people who are not just social media stars, but in fact are really specializing. And this particular artist is just one example. She's a massive following on Tumblr with all of these different animations. So I think it's kind of neat. I'm curious how successful it was and how much it helped them. And I have to tell you that I did a pretty lengthy search this morning to see if there were articles posted about how this is changing the face of social television, and I found the article on Mashable the day before they actually had the finale, but that was pretty much it. So I'm not sure how much of an impact it had, but then again, I think you're right. It does kind of showcase a Tumblr artist, and it's a different way of doing things, but I'm not sure that, I think it's kind of rad, and in fact, I'm not sure it will ever be a fad, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's just kind of the way that we're going, and I know that television is not going away anytime soon. And some people are starting to call this, you know, the television is kind of getting into its golden age of some kind just because there's such good programming. But when you talk about live stuff like The Voice or American Idol or a news programmer, those are the programs of sports that you find are trying to experiment as much as possible with these social tools because it's a live format. They're trying to bring in data. We CNN and Twitter have a partnership, and Facebook is working with a bunch of media partners. And it's like none of it ever really seems like it's that much of a match made in heaven, but they're still trying. And yeah. Stuart mentioned during our interview at the beginning of the show, these are such early days that there is no real right way to do any of this yet, and that is. That's why you get these, you know, sort of big stars and you sort of go like, well, what'd you do? And the star goes, I don't really know. And I think that the TV folks don't really know anything either. So they're kind of just throwing this out there. And I don't know. I mean, what happens to this Tumblr star if she gets a lot of attention? Does she get some sort of a book deal? That's what happens with a lot of Tumblr stars. Or well, I guess book deal is not good for animations, but... You know, now what? You know, how does, what does The Voice do? Do they then claim that they're able to discover breakout visual artists? Maybe.
Could be part of that. I mean, I think, I guess the good news in all of this, and this points back to an episode I think we did just last week with Jack from Patreon. One of my favorite interviews of all time, Sarah, and I think you would agree.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was awesome. And he really talked about artists and how important it was that artists were able to have control of what they do and opportunities. And I think it's such an amazing time for artists today, people who are creative and who are doing their own content. Here's a perfect example of it. I just think sometimes there are situations where it seems a little bit forced. But again, when you come back to the content creator, you're right. It is a great opportunity for them. And in that sense, it probably is pretty rad for them. We'll see what happens with this one. And I'll try to dig around and see if I find out if it was even more of a success, perhaps just in the Tumblr universe.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to wonder what kind of a executive conversation Marissa Meyer had with somebody over at ABC, of course, Yahoo owning Tumblr. So I'm sort of thinking like, how did this all begin? It's kind of fascinating. It's kind of fascinating, but yeah, I'll go with you from the standpoint of an artist. Very rad.
Very rad.
Very rad.
maybe I'll try to track down the artist. And I think we need a Tumblr person to come on the show.
There you go.
I'm thinking of all the different platforms we can attack.
It'll be a regular thing. Yeah, we've had our G+ experts.
Yep.
We've got, you know, the Vine. I know a ton of Instagram folks. Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll kind of we'll pick our social media vertical stars and go after them.
I think it's great. I have someone who would be great for Pinterest too. So
there you go. There you go. Pinterest as well. Well, Amber, that does it for this episode of The Social Hour. Thanks to everybody who watched us live. We do record the show on Thursdays right after Know How at about noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern time. And you can watch us any old time you like, really. Live is great, but on demand is how we like to roll as well. twit.tv/TSH is our website. That's where anytime I say, hey, that's going to be in our show notes, that's where you go to the episodes and the show notes and links and more information on our guests and how to track down certain tips that we talk about. That is all there as well. And, you know, as Amber mentioned, Jack Conte last week, the co-founder and CEO of Patreon and also of Pomplemousse, was an amazing guest. And I think we both said inspiring. And I don't use that word lightly because it can be sort of a silly word, but he really is inspiring. So
yeah,
if you didn't see that interview, you should watch it because he's got some really interesting ideas about, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit and how to be somebody that sticks to your guns and pursues your dreams.
Yeah, it was definitely a good one. So I've actually watched it back once. I watched a bit of it just a few days ago. So it's definitely worth a watch for sure.
Amber, do you have anything exciting going on before we see each other next Thursday?
I don't think so. I just got back from a crazy whirlwind trip to Chicago. I absolutely love Chicago. It's such a great city. I was only there for maybe 20 hours speaking at a conference, but I'm not traveling at all next week. So for me, that's kind of a nice little break and just keep the feet on the ground for a few days, Sarah.
Excellent. Well, we'll take advantage of your feet on the ground to we'll figure out a great next guest for next week. But again, thanks everybody for watching and listening. Until next time, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur, and we'll see you soon.